إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. سناور سورة العاديات. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير. This surah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins it with an oath, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. And this oath is taken by the horses, and that is what's meant by الْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا, the horses that run with panting. Here it is talking about the horses that the Arabs were used to, and they used to have even prior to Islam, and they would use these horses, and they would perhaps go and attack with these horses and go and perform battles with these horses. So it is mentioned here at the beginning, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا, and that is referring to these horses. And this is what the majority of the scholars, they say, الجمهور وهو صحيح يقول الجمهور وهو صحيح فإن الموصوف هو الخير. The majority of the scholars, they say that, and it is the correct opinion, that what is being described here is the horses. In another opinion of some of the scholars, they say that it's the camels, but in actual fact, as the majority of the scholars, they say, the scholars of tafsir, that what's being described here at the beginning is the horses. وَالْخَيْلُ الْعَادِيَاتِ مَعْلُومَ لِلْعَرَبِ حَتَّى قَبْلَ مَشْرُعِيَةِ الْجِهَادِ. And these horses that would go out and stampede and attack, then they were known to the Arabs and they would use them even prior to Islam and the legislation of jihad. هُنَاكَ خَيْلٌ تَعْدُو عَلَىٰ أَعْدَائِهَا سَوَاءً بِحَقٍ أَوْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. They used to have horses that would go out in battalions and attack with those horses, and that they used to do whether it was something rightful or incorrect, that was an activity that used to occur even prior to Islam. Because some of the scholars, they say that this particular surah is referring to the camels and how they would move and take those camels from Arafah to Muzdalifah. However, what's correct is the horses. والعاديات it means اسم فاعل من العدو وهو سرعة المشي والانطلاق. It is referring to the horses when they stampede or they run. The horses when they run. ضبح الضبح ما يسمع من أجواف الخيل حين تعدو بسرعة. ضبح it refers to the panting of the horses. والعاديات ضبح that by the horses, Allah taking the oath, by these horses that run and they pant as they run, and you hear that panting and that breathing from their chests. الضبح ما يسمع من أجواف الخيل حين تعدو بسرعة يكون لها صوت يخرج من صدورها وهذا يدل على قوة سعيها وشدته. So this panting that comes from them when they run, then it indicates the strength of the horses and the quickness of their movements and their running. Then he says, فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا. المُورِيَات مِنْ أَوْرَى أَوْ وَرِيَا بِمَعْنَى قَدْحَا يعني بِذَلِكَ قَدْحَ النَّارِ. Here what it means is now when these horses, they run and with strength and they are panting, then they with their hooves as they are running and striking the pebbles and the stones, they strike sparks of fire with their hooves. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا meaning that sparks of fire occur from their fast running and their hooves. touching these pebbles and striking these pebbles and stones, and when they clash with each other and hit each other, then they spark and they strike sparks in this way through their fast running and their hooves moving the stones and the rocks and making them come together. حينما يضرب الأحجار بعضها بعضا كما هو مشهور عندنا في حجر المرو فإنك إذا ضربت بعضه ببعض قدح. So this now indicates, as you know, some of the stones and the rocks, when you rub them together, then they cause sparks. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how these horses, they run with that speed and they are panting, and you can hear that from the horses. And then their hooves, they strike the stones and the pebbles and they cause the sparks of fire to occur. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ سُبْحَى. Then after that Allah mentions فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ سُبْحَى أي الَّتِي تَغَيَّرَ عَلَى عَدُوِّهَا فِي الصَّبَاحِ الَّتِي تَغِيرُ عَلَى عَدُوِّهَا فِي الصَّبَاحِ وَهَذَا أَحْسَنُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي الْإِغَارَةِ عَلَى الْعَدُوِّ أَنْ يَكُونَ فِي الصَّبَاحِ لِأَنَّهُ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَنَوْمٍ. This is now talking about how these horses, and this was the way of the Arabs when they would go and attack. If they were in a battle, then they would take these horses at that time in the early morning raids. So it's mentioned here, فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ سُبْحَى, that they go out on those early morning raids, because that was the time when the people would be lazy, they would be tired, just having awoken, or at the edge of their sleep, at the end of their sleep. So it was a suitable time, and as it's mentioned in the Sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ would await till that time, and if he heard the Adhan for Fajr, then he wouldn't attack, because then it would be known that they have accepted Al-Islam. But if he did not hear the Adhan, then they would make that raid early in the morning. Then it says after that, فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ, and raised the dust in clouds the while, meaning that when they run, these horses, from the strength of their running and the speed of their running, that they cause sparks with the pebbles, and on top of that they cause the dust to rise up. And that's well known, when a group of horses is running with speed and their hooves are going across the ground, then it will cause the dust to raise up and to fly around in that area. فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا, and penetrating forthwith as one into the midst of the foe. So this is now talking about how they go into the enemy lines, those horses, the horses that run with that speed and that strength. So all of this example being given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking the oath upon this affair, but all of that example is given, and the example of the horses, etc., in order to get to the mentioning of this next section, which then Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ, that indeed mankind is to his Lord kanood. Kanood meaning that he is kafir, meaning that he disbelieves, he is kafur. He belies the blessings of Allah upon him, he denies the blessings of Allah upon him. And that's what إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ indicates. Verily man, the disbeliever, is ungrateful to his Lord. And here there are two opinions. Some of the scholars, they say that when Allah mentions here, indeed mankind is ungrateful to his Lord, some of the scholars, they say that this is referring to the kuffar specifically. But other scholars, they say actually it is a general speech which refers to all of mankind, that all of mankind is disbelieving, meaning ungrateful to their Lord for the blessings that they have in a general sense. وَالْأَظْهَرْ أَنَّ الْمُرَادْ بِهِ الْعُمُومِ وَأَنَّ جِنْسَ الْإِنسَانِ لَوْلَا هِدَايَةَ اللَّهِ لَكَانَ كَنُودًا لِرَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So all of the humans, was it not for the guidance of Allah, then they would be in that state of denying and belying, and not accepting the blessings of their Lord upon them. So kanood, it refers to kafur, meaning that they are ungrateful to their Lord. Then Allah mentions, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, and to that he bears witness to, and to that he bears witness. Again, here the scholars have mentioned two opinions. Who is the one bearing witness upon this act of mankind being ungrateful to his Lord, either specifically the disbelievers being ungrateful, or generally speaking, all of mankind would be in that state of not accepting, was it not for the guidance? And from that guidance, then the believers, they accepted, but the disbelievers, they refuse and they remain upon their misguidance. So who is the one who bears testification to all of that? Some of the scholars, they say the meaning of this ayah is that Allah testifies to that. Allah witnesses to this fact that mankind is ungrateful in this way. Allah testifies to the fact that mankind is disbelieving in this way in terms of the blessings that they've been given. But the other opinion regarding it is that mankind himself, that humans themselves, they testify upon themselves. قِيلْ أَبْضَمِيرِ يَعُودُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. It is said that the pronoun here refers back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that it is Allah who testifies upon the servants that they are in this way ungrateful to the blessings of Allah. وَقِيلْ إِنَّهُ عَائِدٌ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ نَفْسِهِ أي أن الإنسان يشهد على نفسه بكفر نعمة الله عز وجل. The second is that it is the person himself. The person himself testifies to his own ungratefulness to the blessings of Allah. وَالصَّوَابُ أَنَّ الْآيَةَ شَامِلَ لِهَذَا وَهَذَا. And the correct position is that the ayah, it is inclusive of both meanings. That Allah is witness to their ungratefulness, and that humans themselves, they will testify that they are ungrateful upon the blessings of Allah. فَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِ ابْنِ آدَمَ. So Allah testifies and is a witness to that which is in the hearts of the sons of Adam. وَشَهِيدٌ عَلَى عَمَلِهِ. And is a witness upon the actions that they do. وَالْإِنسَانُ أَيْضًا شَهِيدٌ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And a person is also a witness upon himself. لَكِنْ قَدْ يُقِرُّ بِهَذِهِ الشَّهَادَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَقَدْ لَا يُقِرُّ بِهَا فَيَشْهَدُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. However, it may be said that some people, they refuse to accept that. They don't accept that they are being ungrateful to the blessings of Allah. It could be that some people, they refuse to accept that. But even if that's the case, that there are people who refuse to accept the blessings of Allah upon them, then even if they do not accept that now, then in the hereafter, they will certainly have to witness upon themselves, testify to themselves upon this ungratefulness. And that's as it's mentioned in the Quran, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرَجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. On that day, when their tongues and their hands and their feet, they will testify, they will be a witness upon what they used to do. So they will be a witness upon themselves, a testimony upon themselves. Then Allah mentions, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And verily, he is severe in the love of wealth. He has a severe love of wealth. This is the description given of mankind. And some from mankind are no doubt within that description perfectly, that they are extreme or violent or excessive in their love for wealth. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. الْخَيْرِ, here in this ayah, it is referring to wealth. Just like it's mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةِ. That it has been prescribed upon you if death comes to one of you, if he has left khayran, if he has left behind khayran, meaning if he has left behind plentiful wealth. Fal khayru huwa al mal. The khayr here, it is referring to wealth. So innahu ala dhalika la shaheed wa innahu li hubbil khayri la shadeed. That he is violent or extreme or excessive in his love for wealth. And that is with regards to some of the people. Al-insanu hubbuhu lil-mal amrun zahir. The person, his love for wealth is an apparent affair. قال الله تعالى وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Fajr regarding how the mankind loves that wealth. وَلَا تَكَادُ تَجِدُ أَحَدًا يَسْلَمْ مِنَ الْحُبِّ الشَّدِيدِ لِلْمَالِ. And there are very few people who will be safe and outside of this state of having this severe love for wealth. أَمَّا الْحُبَّ الْمُطْلَقِ الْحُبَّ أما الحب مطلق الحب فهذا ثابت لكل أحد. As for generally having a love for wealth, not a severe love for it, a general love for wealth, then that is everybody. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions, that would be something which is applicable to everyone. Everyone has some level of love for wealth, but there's a difference between those people generally having a love for wealth and what is mentioned here of those who have that extreme attachment and love for wealth. So as for a general love for wealth, and that is everybody, mankind, ما من إنسان إلا ويحب المال. There isn't anybody from the humans except that they love wealth. لكن الشدة ليست لكل أحد. But this severe loving of wealth, this severe attachment to wealth, then that isn't for everyone. بعض الناس يحب المال الذي تقوم به الكفاية. Some people, they love the wealth to the extent or to the level which is sufficient for them. They only love to have what they need, what they require, what is sufficient for them, and that's enough. وَيَسْتَغْنِي بِهِ عَنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ. Such that they can look after themselves and they don't have to ask anybody else, they don't have to rely on other people. They are happy with that and they suffice themselves with that. And that is sufficient for them. وَبَعْضُ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ أَكْثَرُ. But some people, the Shaykh says, they want more. وَبَعْضُ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ أَوْسَعُ وَأَوْسَعُ. And some people want even more and more. They want more wealth than that, to have a greater amount than that. فَالْمُهِمْ أَنَّ كُلَّ إِنسَانٍ فَإِنَّهُ مُحِبٌّ لِلْخَيْرِ أي المال. So the point is that everybody, every human has some love for wealth. لَكِنْ أَشِدَّ تَخْتَلِفْ. But your level of love for that wealth, that is what differs. Your level of love for the wealth, that is what differs. وَيَخْتَلِفُ فِيهَا النَّاسُ مِنْ شَخْصٍ لِآخَرٍ. And the people, they are different with regards to that, in terms of their level of love for the wealth, from person to person, that will differ. ثُمَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى ذَكَّرَ الْإِنسَانَ حَالًا لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْهَا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning this, reminds the humans of a state that they will certainly find themselves in. Allah then reminds the humans of a state that they will certainly find themselves in. And that is when Allah mentions, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Knows he not? Does he not know that when the contents of the graves are poured forth, when all of mankind is resurrected, meaning, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي السُّدُورِ, and that which is in the breasts of men shall be made known, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٍ. Verily that day, i.e. the day of resurrection, their Lord will be well acquainted with them as to their deeds and will reward them for their deeds. So here, Allah reminds mankind of this reality that they will all face. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Do they not know when they will be resurrected, when the graves are poured forth? أَيْنُشِرَ وَأُظْهِرَ فَإِنَّ النَّاسِ يُخْرَجُونَ مِنْ قُبُورِهِمْ أَوْ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْ قُبُورِهِمْ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That when everything is poured out and the contents are made apparent, and the people will exit out of their graves to their Lord. كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. As if they are spread out as locusts everywhere. منتشر. يَخْرُجُونَ جَمِيعًا بِصَيْحَةٍ وَاحِدًا. They will all come out with that blowing of the trumpet. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And then all of that which was concealed in the hearts of mankind, it will become known and it will become apparent. أَيْ مَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ مِنَ النِّيَّاتِ وَأَعْمَالِ الْقَلْبِ, meaning that which a person had in his heart with regards to the intentions a person had, the desires, the objectives, the goals, what a person intended by his actions, all of those intentions, then they will become known, what a person had concealed in his heart. وَأَعْمَالُ الْقَلْبِ, and similarly the actions of the heart, the actions of the heart like tawakkul, al-raghba, wal-rahba, wal-khawf, wal-raja, the actions of the heart. There are certain types of actions, certain types of obediences that are obediences of the heart. For example, the trust and the dependence in Allah, the fear, the hope, the fright, the awe, all of these different feelings, these different types of actions are actions of the heart. They emanate from the heart. وَهُنَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ الْعُمْدَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. So here the point of these ayat is that Allah made the point of it. The point of it is what is in the hearts of men. That when the graves are uncovered and everything is poured forth, and then the secrets of the chests are known, meaning that this is the point. When everything is poured forth, it will be what is concealed, those intentions that will be of importance. أي ما في القلوب من النيات والأعمال وهنا جعل الله عز وجل العمد ما في الصدور كما قال تعالى. Just as Allah said in another ayah, يوم تبل السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر. That on that day when those secrets are out, he will have no strength, no help. لأنه في الدنيا يعامل الناس معاملة الظاهر. Because in this world we can only deal with the people upon the apparent, what we see from them. We're unaware of what is in their intentions and in their hearts. حتى المنافق يعامل كما يعامل المسلم حقا. Even the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they were behaved towards and treated as if they were Muslims. لكن في الآخرة العمل على ما في القلب. However, in the hereafter, it will be dependent upon that which is in the heart. وَلِهَذَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نَعْتَنِيَ بِقُلُوبِنَا قَبْلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَبْلَ الْأَعْمَالِ. That's why the Shaykh says, it is upon us to give importance to what's in our hearts before anything else, even before the actions that we do. It is the intentions in the hearts. And that is why you have the famous narration, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that indeed all your actions are by your intentions. لِأَنَّ الْقَلْبَ هُوَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْمَدَارِ, because the heart, that's what all of the affair revolves around. The intention that a person has in his heart. It is not just the actions that you do, but the intention that you do those actions upon. وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَيَكُونُ الْجَزَاءُ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and upon those intentions, why you did those actions, then that's what your reward will be on the Day of Judgment. And that's why Allah says here, وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and it will be obtained, that which was in the hearts, it will be known. وَمُنَاسَبَةُ الْآيَتَيْنِ بَعْضُهُمَا لِبَعْضٍ, and why and how are they connected, these two ayats, these previous two ayats? أَنَّ بَعْثَرَةَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ إِخْرَاجٌ لِلْأَجْسَادِ مِنْ بَوَاطِنِ الْأَرْضِ. Because the first ayah when it says, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ, that the bodies of the people will be raised out of the graves, that is the physical raising out of the bodies of the people. وَتَحْصِيلُ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ إِخْرَاجٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. As for the second ayah now, that is talking about taking out what's in the hearts of the person. The first one is taking out what's in the graves, the bodies, physically. The second ayah is talking about taking out what's on the inside of that person, his intentions, in his heart. فَالْبَعْفَرَةٌ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ عَمَّا تَكْنَهُ الْأَرْضِ. So here it is to remove from the graves what the earth conceals. The earth conceals the bodies, and they will be removed and resurrected on the Day of Judgment. As for the second ayah, it is referring to the heart, because the heart, it conceals the intentions and the objectives, and they will be extracted also and made known. Then at the end it says, Inna Rabbahum bihim yawma idhin la khabir. That indeed their Lord will be well acquainted with them regarding their deeds, etc. on that day. So this again indicates the day of judgment. Inna Rabbahum bihim yawma idhin. Yawma idhin meaning on that day. On that day, the day of accountability, the day of resurrection, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be well aware of all of their deeds and all of their actions and all of what they have done, and the accountability will be done and based upon those deeds. And that's as we already spoke about regarding the weighing scales and how the deeds will be placed on either side. And that will be mentioned somewhat further also in the next surah, which is Al-Zalzala, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. In that surah again there will be mention regarding the actions of the people and even how the most minute of the actions will be recorded and nothing is forgotten and nothing is lost regarding how the angels, they write down all of those deeds, and some of the narrations regarding how every single deed, minute or large, is recorded and then presented to the people on that day. That is what follows in the next surah. But here then Allah mentions on that day He is aware and fully acquainted with all of their deeds and what they have done and their actions as they have been recorded and written down by the angels. And then they will be held accountable upon those deeds. Whatever those deeds may be, whether it is from their actions in Hajj or Umrah or whatever, depending on how they did those actions, their intentions, if it was done sincerely for the sake of Allah or not, whether it's regarding their wealth, then a person will be questioned regarding his wealth on the Day of Judgment, as this ayah spoke about the wealth and how the people, they have an attachment and love to wealth. It is even mentioned by a Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah ta'ala, that on the Day of Judgment, as it's known in the narration, that a person's two feet will not move until he is asked about certain questions. One of those questions that is mentioned is that a person will be asked about his wealth, where he earned his wealth from and where he spent his wealth. It's mentioned, as Sheikh Fawzan said, that the Muhajirun, the Muslims who came from Mecca, they left all of their properties, their possession, their wealth, their families behind, and they went to Medina and made the hijrah. Those Muhajirun, as Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions, from them, some of them will enter into paradise slightly delayed behind other Muhajirun. Who are the ones that will be slightly delayed entering into paradise after the other Muhajirun? Shaykh al-Fawzan says the ones who were rich, because they will have to be asked about that wealth, where they got it from and where they spent it. Whereas the ones who were poor, the fuqara, then they don't have that particular set of questioning regarding their wealth, where they got it from and where they spent it, because they were poor anyway. So their questioning will be limited in that field, so they'll enter quicker, whereas the others will be delayed with that questioning regarding where they got their wealth from and where they spent their wealth in. So the Shaykh said, the Shaykh al-Fawzan, if that's with regards to the Muhajirun, the great companions, the Muhajirun, that they will be questioned with regards to that, and they'll be delayed slightly behind the others, then what therefore of us? Then a person needs to look at his affairs, his actions, his wealth, his deeds, his intentions, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all of that, and a person will be held accountable on those affairs on the Day of Judgment. So that is a brief overview of Surah Al-Adiyat. The opening of it, Allah takes the oath by the horses that run and the hooves that strike the flames or the sparks in the pebbles and how they hasten towards the enemy. That is mentioned at the beginning as Allah takes an oath upon that to then explain about the mankind and their love for wealth and their desire for that and how they testify upon themselves for their ungratefulness, or Allah testifies upon them too. And that on the Day of Judgment all of their affairs will be exposed and extracted, their bodies will be taken out, and their secrets of their souls, their hearts will also be exposed. So that's a brief understanding of Surah Al-Adiyat. We'll conclude upon that, and inshallah next week we'll start with Surah Al-Zalzala. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ